Hi there. Thank you for choosing to listen to this sermon. We pray that God would use this as an added resource to benefit you in conjunction with you belonging to a local church near you. This sermon was preached at Central Baptist Church, Pretoria. 130 years of believers loving God, caring for one another, and impacting the world.
Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We are in our third week endeavoring to answer the question, why does the resurrection matter? And the answer is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll read the first 19 verses. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. Just so far in God's word, let us pray. Oh Lord, in faith we have sung of Christ. We have done so in faith, and in faith that our God not only is worthy of our worship, but our God hears our worship. And so, Lord, similarly, now in faith, we open our Bibles in faith of the God who has spoken. Not only has he spoken, but he has spoken in such a way, words that are appropriate and accessible and applicable to our Christian lives. Words even that can stir salvation in the lost sinner's heart. In faith, O Lord, with our Bibles open, I ask that you would speak. Speak in spite of my weakness, in spite of my inadequacy, in spite of my many words, or maybe sometimes my few words, but by the truth of God's word, may it be that your people leave this place tonight having heard their God speak. Please, O Lord, I ask this for your name's sake and for your glory's sake. Amen. Why does the resurrection matter? We have considered already in the weeks past the vainness of preaching and the vainness of faith in response to that preaching if Jesus did not rise from the dead. We considered also last week the futility of a Christian life lived by faith, again, a big if Jesus did not rise from the dead. And this evening we consider just the second half of a phrase in verse 17. Verse 17, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. But not only that, our focus tonight, you are still in your sins. Why does the resurrection matter? If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you and I, we are still in our sins. Here's a quote that I found helpful. If Christ has not risen, what object has your faith? To believe in his atoning death, you must believe in the necessary sequel and counterpart of that death, his resurrection, for the two facts are inseparably united. If you admit his death but deny his resurrection, then ye are yet in your sins. Now, I quote that because when we think of Christ, we ought to think of, as the quote said, these inseparably united doctrines, his death and his resurrection. And so by asking the question, why does the resurrection matter? I'm not trying to elevate one doctrine over another. But this is what I'm trying to present before you. Imagine a jigsaw puzzle. If you go to a secondhand shop, they'll sell you for 50 Rand a 1,000-piece puzzle that is missing one piece. What Paul is saying and what I am proposing to you from Scripture is that the gospel is all or it is nothing. The Bible is all or it is nothing. Either Jesus was born of a virgin and he lived and he breathed and he faced temptations and he preached and he performed miracles and he calmed storms and then he was crucified and then he was buried and then he rose again on the third day. Either all of it is true or none of it is true. And so Paul is challenging these Corinthians, you don't get to invent your own gospel just based off of what is plausible to you or based off of whatever philosophy you are following in that moment. You don't get to invent your own gospel. If you try and sell the gospel jigsaw puzzle that is missing one piece, it's not even worth 50 Rand. It's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. It is futile. It is vain. And you are still in your sins. Again, as we've done in the previous weeks, let's follow Paul's negative hypothesis. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there you are. You are still in your sins. You are still in your sins. Still in your sins. I'm going to give you on three accounts. Firstly, you are still in your sins in a legal sense. By legality, legally, your sins still fall on your shoulders. We're going to look at that in a minute. Secondly, you are still in your sins. In this sense, sin is still your master. You are a slave to sin. Thirdly, You are still in your sins because of the outcome that sin has. What's the outcome of sin? The wages of sin is death. Death. The outcome of your existence, it must be death and damnation because you are still in your sins. And you have no hope of eternal life with a resurrected body in the presence of the resurrected Christ. We're going to think more on that next week as we consider if Jesus did not rise from the dead, we have no hope and we are of all people most to be pitied. That is next week. But tonight we'll be considering those first two. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, you are still legally bound by sin. Colossians 2, 13 and 14. It's helpful in this regard. This is what it says. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. But if Christ did not rise from the dead, the record of debt, it still stands against us. It has not been set aside. Not only are we dead in the trespasses of our sins, but we are also guilty. And because of the inseparable unity of Christ's death and resurrection, if he did not rise, there is no cross for our sins to be nailed to. Oh, the agony of this treacherous thought, my sins, not one of them, not two of them, but all of them, they are required of my accounts, they fall on my shoulders, woe is me. Christian, if you call yourself a Christian here tonight, do you remember before you heard the good news of Jesus Christ? Do you remember what that felt like? Do you remember the weight of guilt, legal guilt before a holy God? The weight of sin, the weight of impending doom, the deserved wrath of God. Do you remember what it felt like? The prospect of standing before the holy and pure and glorious sovereign God of the universe. Just that prospect, it ought to fill us with fear, the courtroom of God. But it's just you and God. There's no advocate. Because if Christ did not rise from the dead, the courtroom of God, you now have to give an account for your life. You have to give an account for why you lived. Why you lived for yourself and not for God. You have to give an account, my friend, for your sins. The sins that made their way from your heart to your mind and made their ways into your actions. And so we may know about most of them. You have to give an account for those sins. But you also have to give an account for the hidden sins. The little bit of ego that you hide within. That little bit of pride. That little bit of lust. Of envy, of hate, of unforgiveness, of all those times, those moments where self reigned. Me, 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 my needs, my desires, my pleasure, my life governed not by God, but governed by self. Explain yourself before a holy God. Come on, stand up for yourself. Mr. I'm a nice person. Miss, I never hurt a fly. Mr. I read my Bible every day. Miss, I came to church every week. make your defense before a holy God. Don't be shy. Dress yourself in all your dirty rags. Come on, try and look your best. Explain to God why you deserve to be in His holy presence. Explain to God why a measly little wretch of a creature like you and I should be tolerated in the presence of His glory for all eternity. Explain it. What defense do you have? What defense do I have if Jesus did not die and rise again? My friends, in the courtroom of God, we are legally guilty. We have no advocate before the Father. We have no high priest who has gone before us. We have nothing if Jesus did not die and rise again. Legally, we are guilty before God. Secondly, not only that, but also sin. Sin is our master. See, it's not just that I have a long list of sins and you have a long list of sins, because we do. It's not just the weight of guilt. It's the weight of slavery. The obligation of slavery, the bondage of it, the chains that hold us. We are sinners in a world of sin. I wonder if you've ever tossed a leaf into the river. And I wonder if you've seen how helpless that leaf is to resist its current. Now, sometimes the current may be racing fast, and you have a horrible day littered with temptation and evil, and there's sex and drugs and rock and roll. Sometimes the current is slow. And you grow up in a Christian home, and you've never gotten drunk. You never slept around. You never came home late because you were partying. You've kept yourself for marriage. You're a wonderful person. And your environment has just shaped you in such a way that on some or other level you have this external appearance of morality. That's nice. That's nice. But like a leaf caught in the current, all of us, whether it's slow or fast, all of us, whether it is fast and open rebellion or whether it is slow and quiet morality, it flows the same way toward death. Death for those who do not know Christ. And then, of course, there's still also those aforementioned innocence. And there is still your innate ability to make much of anything and everything in your life other than the person of Jesus Christ. See the pull of godlessness, it's not just those big sins that we tend to make a big deal about. The pull of godlessness, it can even be living out the most moral of lives, but you are doing so outside of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Servants before their king. They are not just required to behave appropriately within the kingdom according to its laws, but they are also required to live in obedience to the king, in reverence to the king, in worship, giving the king all his due glory. And so maybe you are not going to be found dead in some hotel room, overdosed on drugs and drowned in your own vomit. Maybe that will never be you. But where is your worship? Where is your obedience? What glory have you brought to your God? And again, we can frame it in that courtroom scene. God asks, what master were you serving? Who is the master of your life? Is it flesh and sin and pleasure? Outside of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that is our master still. And you and I, we are just hopeless leaves on a river of sin and worldliness and evil. The pull is relentless, night and day. Resistance, in fact, it is futile. It is our master and we are its slaves if Christ did not rise from the dead. Society, friends, family, depending on where you are and how you've been raised, that'll shape you a bit maybe. But it cannot reverse the hold, the bondage, the mastery that sin has over you. Our flesh wants what it wants. And so we will keep presenting ourselves as instruments of evil and sin and ungodliness. And so maybe in a public setting such as this, maybe my public surroundings will prevent me from picking my nose. But the second I'm alone, you watch me dig for gold. Because the pull is relentless. Because this outer performance that we put on does not reverse that within I am mastered by sin. If Christ did not rise from the dead, what a miserable existence. Guilty before God, a slave to sin, dead in my sin, and so hopeless to do anything about it, destination death. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? What shall be my escape? What hope do I have in my miserable existence? Jesus, the risen Christ, Jesus, our Messiah, Jesus, our all in all Christian believer. May I affirm or reaffirm for you what you should know if you have believed in the gospel. Because Jesus did indeed die and rise again. And because he saw it fit to stir faith in your stubborn heart so that you might believe that he died and rose again. And because you believe, therefore you are no longer in your sins. And therefore, guilt no longer falls on your shoulders. Why not? Well, you should know these verses. Surely he has borne our griefs. Surely he has carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was a chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. And so because Jesus died and rose again, if you are a Christian, if you have put your faith in Him as your Lord and Savior, you no longer have to stand or sit or cry in fear in the dead of night, fearing the courtroom of God. Christian, secondly, may I reaffirm to you, or affirm to you what you should already know, that because Jesus did indeed die and rise again, and because you ought to believe that He died and rose again, and you are no longer in your sins, therefore sin is no longer your master. Why not? Well, Romans 6 describes it for us. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You felt no obligation towards obedience to God in your heart. You were free. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get, it leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. My ambition, unbeliever, if there's one amongst us who does not believe, if you are here tonight, if you are here tonight and you are sitting there and you are honest enough to say that you are a sinner by God's standards, and you are honest enough to admit you have been living for self by God's standards, and you are smart enough, not only are you honest enough, you are smart enough to connect the dots to know that that now means you are guilty in the eyes of the holy God. You are halfway there. That's the bad news. What's the good news? It need not stay that way. You've entered here with impending doom of the wrath of God, but by putting your faith in the person of Jesus living and dying and rising again, you can exit those doors free. Guilt free. All your sin, past, present, future, all your sin, because of Jesus. Not only the guilt, but also you can walk out those doors a changed man, a changed woman. No longer a slave to sin, no longer living your life in obligation to sin and sinfulness, but now living out what's described in Ephesians 2, the good works He has prepared for us. His workmanship, because of the death and resurrection of Christ. My ambition also, believer, my ambition is not to fill our heads or fill my head with knowledge. My ambition is not to repeat words after me or tick a Christian box on a piece of paper. My ambition is that which made us a Christian. When we confessed with our mouths and we believed in our heart and by faith we put our trust in the gospel of Jesus Christ, my ambition is that which we have already done, we continue in it and we apply it to our lives. In the dead of night, when I awake, and Satan tempts me to despair, and he tells me of the guilt within, that I may be able, that you may be able to respond with conviction. Outside of Christ, you are right, Satan. Outside of what Jesus did for me, I am a sinner, and you know what? I'm on my way to hell to join you in the pits of hell under the wrath of God for all eternity. outside of Christ, but because of the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that my Bible tells me about. Unfortunately, I'm not joining you in hell. Unfortunately for you, Satan, I am not outside of Christ. I am inside of Christ. I am covered by his blood. I am washed by his blood. The wrath that I deserve, Christ took in my stead. We need not just to know these things, Christians, but we need to learn to minister these things that we know to ourselves in the dead of night when we are tempted to despair. We need to know how to apply gospel truth to guilty feelings. Gospel truth, guilty feelings. One is true, one is a feeling. And then after that, Satan comes with his temptations. I own you. I am your master and you are my slave. I hold the keys to your pleasure. You must obey me. That guy dying on the cross 2,000 years ago isn't helping you right now. You are my slave. And then we learn to apply the death and resurrection of Christ even to temptation. I'm no longer a slave. not fear. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I owe you no obligation, Satan. This little bit of pleasure that you are promising me, it is nothing compared to what I have in Christ. The satisfaction of holding on to my anger and unforgiveness and whatever else is going on within me, that is nothing, Satan, compared to what I have in Christ. I'm not your slave. And so we can apply that verse that tells us that in every temptation, God always provides a way out. Because I'm no longer a slave. Why does the resurrection matter? Because Paul says, if this puzzle piece is missing, you are still in your sins. But praise God, we are not in our sins. Because I propose to you and I put to you tonight, I leave you with this. Jesus was born of a virgin. He lived, he preached, he performed miracles, he calmed the storm, he opened the eyes of the blind, and then he died on the cross for our sins, and then he rose again. So my guilt is no longer mine. And so I am no longer a slave to sin. Let us pray. Lord, easier preached than lived. I pray that your truth teach me in my moments of doubt and despair and temptation, teach me to apply these truths. Teach me not to look at circumstance or feelings or whatever's going on in my day. Teach me to cast my eyes upwards to the risen Christ. He is my life. If I am going to say no to any temptation or sin, it is because he is my life. If my faith is going to be strong today, it is because he is my life. If I'm going to live in freedom today, It is because of the risen Christ. Teach me, Lord, teach us in those moments of doubt and despair to look to the risen Christ. Please. In your name do I pray, and to your glory do I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon. Find out more about Central Baptist Church at www.central.org.za.